I got you. Yeah, it could be raining though, but you're inside. You're inside. But there are people who are outside and they don't have an inside to go to. So 2 weeks ago, we happened to go out, and it was a blessing to go out and share. And I just followed my sisters around. And I went because I wanted to see, you know, the need. Our message is about go, right? It's about go. And she said it better than I can ever say it. Everybody's not called to go, but everybody needs to go. Okay, let me explain that to you. I told you I speak three languages very fluently: English, Ebonics, and tongues. That was Ebonics. Now, you may not go physically, but you can go in your pocket or go in your closet, pull out some of them clothes, right, and we can give them to them. We'll go if you can't go. Let me tell you a story. This is a real story, true story. There was a young kid. He was on his way to church. And he got his first pair of Jordans. Before he got there, he got beat up real bad. I mean, he got beat down. Took his shoes off, the kid laying on the side of the street, right in front of the church. He's leading out there, and all the church is having a wonderful time. So Dr. Apostle Reverend Bishop Goodfoot is inside praising and worshiping the Lord. Powerful message he preached. Service is over with, guess what? He goes outside. Kid laying down. He sees the kid. He crosses the street. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Then Deacon got up. The deacon came up behind the reverend. His name was Deacon Too Good. He walked over, saw the kid laying there, watched the kid. Saw him, looked at him. He walked across the street. Then all of a sudden, somebody, some stranger drove up right to the curb, parked his car, saw the kid laying there. Got out the car, the kid's bleeding real bad. He said, I got to do something about this. He got on his phone and he called 911. The paramedics show up. This guy parked his car, got in the ambulance with him, went to the hospital with him. What happens when you go to the hospital? First thing they want is your ID card, right? This kid don't have anything. He just got beat up, got his Georgia taken from him. He gets to the hospital. This unknown Samaritan, you know where I'm going, I'm telling you that. Unknown Samaritan went to the hospital with him. He said, you know what? No matter what it takes, here's my credit card, pay for it. I got to leave, I'll be back. They bandaged him up real good, took care of him. The kid had to take overnight stay there. He comes back, this good Samaritan does, and says, how much is it going to cost? Don't worry about it, I'm going to pay for it. He pays the entire cost, he leaves. The kid gets well. Now the kid thinks in his mind, oh, that must have been Dr. Apostle Reverend Bishop Goodfoot who took care of me. But it wasn't him. It was a good Samaritan. It was a good Samaritan. I said it's a true story. It is a true story. When you go home tonight, read Luke 10 and then read Matthew 25. So Dr. Reverend Goodfoot, he dies. And I told you he's a bad preacher. Everybody in Vallette want to hear him. But guess what now? It's that time standing before the master. Because we're all going to stand before him. He's standing before God, and keep in mind, God's not going to judge Jesus is. So Jesus, he said, you know what? I got to separate these folks now. On my right-hand side, I got my sheep. On my left-hand side, I got my goats. So Dr. Reverend Goodfoot said, hey, Jesus, hold on, Jesus. I'm on the wrong side. And Jesus said, no, you're on the right side. Because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me nothing to drink. I was naked out in the streets, you didn't clothe me. And I was in prison, you didn't come visit me. Don't be that way. You know what I hate about this? Everybody going to heaven. Everybody ain't staying. Oh, you're going there. Because you know why? God gonna judge you there. I would hate to go to heaven and get there and have to leave. That ain't my message though. That ain't my message. That was my tune-up. Amen. I want you guys to go home and study this one scripture, though, about what I just told you there. It's found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And it simply says this: and I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom shall go for us? Then said I, here I am, Lord, send me. Send me. Father, I thank and praise you again for the awesome privilege of speaking before your people. And it's truly a privilege, so I take it not lightly. So I need personally the Holy Spirit to convince, convict, change, and transform their thinking pattern today, God. I pray that as your word go forward, their hearts would embrace the reality of the divine truth. There will be a divine change and transformation in their life, Father God, and you'll be glorified and they'll be benefited right now. Give them ears to hear, a heart to embrace the reality of the divine and glorious truth. Therefore, they can grow and mature into the vessel of honor that you desire them to be. We ask it and declare it done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My message title, again, is part two of Mind-Blowing Decisions. And I'm going to do a quick synopsis about what I talked about the first time I spoke about it. And we talked about this mind. This mind is something else. It'll get you in trouble if you're not careful. I said before that every day we have about 12,000 to 6,000 thoughts going through our mind every day. 80% of those thoughts are negative, and 98% of those thoughts are from the previous day. Remember that? Now talk about the origin of thoughts. I said thoughts come from your five senses, you know, what you hear, what you see, your touch, smell, and taste. And then it's stored in your subconscious mind. So you might think that thought is gone. All of a sudden it comes back out. That came from your five senses. Then I said also thoughts come from the enemy, Satan himself. And I gave an example in John chapter 13, verse 2. I said that after dinner had been over, the supper, it said that Satan had put in the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. So Satan does have a play on your mind, believe it or not. And you got to guard your mind. Then, of course, the last way thoughts come to your mind is from God, but he'll speak to the Holy Spirit. And he'll confirm that word, hopefully, if you're reading his word, to confirm his word. Amen? Then I said that you are a tripart individual, right? You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a physical body. Now, the problem with all of us is this soul of ours. It ain't redeemed. It wants to do whatever it wants to do until you put it under control. Okay? Now, in your spirit, you have your conscience, intuition, and communion. That's how God speaks to you. He'll bypass your mind because your mind cannot handle what God's going to say to you. It just can't do it. That's why it has to be renewed every day. Then I say, in your soul is your mind, your will, volition, and your emotions. And, of course, we see our physical bodies. So I want you three, beautiful people right here, just real quickly, just stand up. I want to give an example again. You three, you four, just stand up real quickly. You don't have to walk or anything. Just stand up real quick. So if you want a picture of it again, my sister right here happens to be the Holy Spirit. She's your born-again spirit. She's my soul. And this is the body. We got that? Now, my last example, I said when she messed up, when the soul got in control, only these two went. But actually, everybody goes. You take your spirit and you take the Holy Spirit into whatever mess you're going to, unfortunately. And that's why he said, don't grieve or quench my power. You guys can sit down now. I want to give you an example of how to, I like reality. All this foo-foo stuff, I don't deal with that well. I want reality. So I'm going to bring my wife up real quick. And I'm going to give you a scenario. It may happen. I think it did happen. So, you know, my wonderful wife, you forgot something, but you can go get it if you want to. Thank you very much. So the backdrop of this is simply I work late, real late at nighttime. Okay? So I think I get home about 1:30, 2 o'clock sometimes. And now I'm asleep. Did sleep. Watch this.
Edward.
What do you want?
Well, I was going to the grocery
store. I don't care about the store. I don't want nothing. I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping. I'm asleep. I'm sleeping. That's okay. I'm asleep right now. Mm-hmm. That was real, wasn't it? Okay. That was real. That was real. That was real. Matter of fact, let me repent because that's I'm too real. That was real. You see what she had in her hand? Had the Bible in her hand, right? Did you hear what she said when she left me? Murmuring and complaining, right? Okay, I was wrong, But guess what? She was wrong too. Y'all see that? Because she went away with an attitude as well. Let's try it again. Let's see if we can do it from the word perspective. Get it right, sweetie. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right.
Edward.
What do you want with me this time?
I was going to the grocery store and I wanted to.
I don't want anything. I'm sleeping. I'm feeling good. I'm asleep.
Well,
that's okay. I don't want anything. I don't want anything.
All right, dear. God bless you.
She said, God bless you. What's wrong with her? God bless you. Amen. So the second time she goes away, what happens is the Holy Spirit will bring that word. If you study in your word now, he can't do nothing with an empty mind. If you're studying your word, it his responsibility is to draw that word back out, and then you respond, act differently from the first time you responded. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we are individuals, but we all learn differently. You agree with that? Some people learn by hearing things. That's not me. Some people can see something and learn. And then we have kinesthetic. And that's what God's trying to bring us all to, that we use God's word and apply that word on a daily basis. And we got to figure out, how did Jesus respond every time they came against him? Now, I always say this. Please listen carefully. There's three kind of Christians. Write it down. Three kind. There's your babe. There's old carnal Marno. He's a carnal man. And you got the mature Christian. Say it again. You have your babe in Christ. You have your carnal Christian. And then you have your mature Christian. Let's go to our Bible, though. Let's read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. And we're going to see what God has to say about the babe in Christ. Because there's a way to treat one who's just coming to the faith, because God knows that he should grow and mature. And it's our job as leaders to make sure that we help accommodate that growth. Amen. When you get there, say amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." For what? He's a babe. He's a babe. He's just coming to the faith. He's a babe in Christ. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. This is your carnal Christian. He don't want to grow. She don't want to grow. They like the fireproof insurance that they get. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 2. When you get there, say amen. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither now are you able." Now that's that Christian that if you give them the word, they can't really formulate or operate in the word. If you go back one chapter, verse 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Why? Because they're foolish to him. It's foolish, Brother Tracy, for me to love my enemies if you're carnal. Because it doesn't make natural sense. Because in the old nature, I'm going to retaliate. Do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong back. But God has us living on a different plateau in life as a believing one. But that carnal Christian will never get there. Go to Hebrews 5:14. This is the mature Christian. Hebrews chapter 5. There's going to be a lot of scriptures. I want you guys to study this. As you go into the new year, we want you guys to be full grown believers, so we can take our city for God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. "But it says, strong meat belong to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised and discern both good and evil." Let me see if you're paying attention. How many types of Christians are there? Can we name them, please? Thank God we wasn't singing that. Let's try it again. As I was putting this message together, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. There's one more category. Oh, man, this one right here, it got to me personally. It's called a mature babe. Let me show you how it looks. A mature babe. That's a mature babe. A mature babe simply is this. God talking to you about something, and you can't really handle it, so God says, you know what? Out of heaven. A mature babe. And he told me, Edward, you're a mature babe. I said, what you mean a mature babe? I've been at this thing for a while. He said, you're a mature babe. Let me give you an example. True story, too. Somebody offended me, I mean, if bad. And I was in the right. I know I was in the right. And I said, Lord, I forgive him. Now, that was cool, right? I forgave him, like I was supposed to. But I said that, you got to put the word into practice. So, I mean, it was about a year that went by. So, guess what? Now, I got to put it into practice. So, now, I'm in the same room with this person. Oh, Lord. Remember, I said I forgave him. I broke out into a cold sweat. My stomach was bothering me. You know why? Because something was wrong still. It was easy talking about forgiving that person, but the reality hit when I got in the same room with that person. So guess what God gave me? Out of heaven came the pacifier. Had to hold on to it for another year. But guess how good God is? He gave me another opportunity. I said, God, you know what? I'm graduating this time. I'm going to pass this test next time. Saw him again. And you know what? It was only a few months later, to be honest with you, because God wants you to grow up. This is for me. He wants me to grow up. So I got to that, and I saw that person again. Guess what? I didn't sweat. My stomach wasn't doing flips. As a matter of fact, I went first. How you doing, bro? Oh, good to see you. I graduated. That day I graduated. I went from that mature babe to a mature person. And that's where God is trying to get us. To be a mature believer. Not easily offended. Because I'm telling you something real quickly. When we went out there witnessing, we got rejected. That don't make sense to me, really. We out there helping you out, brother. And you telling me no? I'm trying to pray for you. You said, no, I'll take your food. But I want you praying for me. Rejection. How will you respond to that? See, you can't win the souls if you get your feelings hurt all the time. You can forget. Just stay at home. Because it won't work. You know why? Because there's another person watching what you do as well, too. He's called Satan. He wants to know, do you believe what you talk about? Or are you just chattering your way? But you got to believe this word that God has left for us to believe. And then you got to not just believe it, you got to apply it. Not just once in a while, but every day. Every day. Let me ask you a question real quickly. Do you put on your clothes every day? Well, you need to put on God's word every day. God's word should be so a part of you that they think you Jesus. Because you begin to respond to adversity just like he did. Just like he did. Now, I always say that a Christian's mind is a terrible thing to waste. And that is what he is attacking, your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, brethren, do what? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by renewing your mind. Because you got to prove what is God good, acceptable, and his perfect will. And you can't do that on your own. You got to go to God's word to find out, what do I do in this situation? And it can only happen if your mind is transformed and changed by God's word. One thing I said earlier, I said that we don't want to quench God's power. You need God's power to operate and function in this life. Well, what is the power you're quenching? The Holy Spirit. He can't flow freely through you if you cut him off. I always talk to God. I say, Lord, why did you give Jesus the Spirit without measure. You ever wonder that? Why did God give Jesus the Spirit without measure, but he gave us a measure of faith? You think about that? I'm going to tell you why. Because all the gifts that he operated in, they flow through love. They operate through love. You can do nothing to Christ, he's still going to try to heal you. He healed you, you walked away from him. Remember the leopards? Only one came back. So for us, we got to ask him, Lord, I want this gift to operate through me, but can you operate through love? That's why we don't see the miracles that we saw in the Old Testament, New Testament, because there's not love flowing like it should be flowing. He wants the gifts to flow, but they only going to flow out of love. That's why he said that tongues going to cease, prophecy going to cease, all these things going to cease, but love. And once you begin to operate in love, you'll see the gifts begin to flow through you in a profound way. Because he said he desires the gifts to flow through you, but it has to operate through love. So how do we deal with these things called thoughts? Well, I believe that you got to deal with thoughts in the conception stage. Don't allow that thought to be carried to full term. You know what full term is? All the mothers know what full term is, right? Yeah, I know all the mothers know. Full term is that you let that thought ride you from inception. Now it's a big old grown thought that's riding. You got to carry that thought now all the way. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to see how do we deal with these things called thoughts that try to dog us in day and night. Thoughts. How do we deal with negative thoughts? How do we deal with them? Did I say chapter 10? Well, you know what? When you get home tonight, read that. Something good there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to begin in verse number 3. Now, I'm an old school guy. I've been in church all my life. Had no choice. Every Sunday, woke up, you bet to be ready to go. Mom got a stomach ache. Okay, take you and your sad stomach to church. We're going to church. It was no negotiating. But I like the old school stuff because the old school stuff had people like the Hawkins family. And there was a song they sang called There's a War Going On. And if you're going to win, you better have Jesus deep down within. There's a war going on. And you can't see it, but there's a war going on. It's the enemy that you can't see. And then there's an enemy in me. That's the war that's going on. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "For though I walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against what? Against the knowledge of God, right? And bringing into captivity every what? Thought. To the obedience of Christ. Every thought. And if you don't do this in the conception stage, you're going to have some serious problems going on in your life. You deal with your thoughts when they first are initiated. I was reading a story, and it said that anytime you hear the word preached in the service, only 25% of the hearers will activate God's word. I said, I got to prove that one out. We're going to prove it out, though. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 is a very interesting passage. If I had a whole pie, would that be 100%? right? And I give my wonderful wife, my loving, charming wife, 1/4. I'm forgiven, right? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Then I give Tammy 1/4. Brother Derry 1/4. Brother Carl 1/4. They have 1/4 of that pie, correct? Mark chapter 4. And remember I said, Christians only receive or activate 25% of God's word. Watch this. And he began, I'm in verse 1, Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. Whether it's by the seaside or by the synagogue or in someone's home, he taught. And there gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea and the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in this doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as it sowed, some fell by the wayside, 25%. And the fowls of the air came down and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, 50%, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had not much depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, 75%. And the thorn sprang grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground. And it did yield fruit. And it sprang up and increased and brought forth some, what, 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So when Jesus was teaching, only 25% received his word and activated his word. Isn't that strange? So what happened to the other 75% that went forth? Well, it said it fell on a good, some ground. What kind of ground did it fall on? Let's jump down to verse 15. And it says, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard it, O slewfoot, it says, Satan cometh when? Immediately. And taketh away that word. But I said, Lord, that don't sound right. I can't blame everything on slewfoot. We can't blame everything on Satan. Now, he out there, but Jesus said, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. So I can't blame everything on him. Some things, yes, but not everything. So I said, Lord, why are we not getting this then? He said, check out your heart. He said, look at your heart. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. That's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel. I want us to go into the new year new and excited about what God has in store for us. So if the word is sown, it got to be sown in right soil. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 says, everybody there? And I will give them one heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take away the what? Stony heart out of their flesh. And I will give them a heart of flesh. You see, you cannot cause anything to grow planting a seed on cement. It won't grow. Not designed to grow. A seed is designed to grow in soft soil. But if your soil of your heart is not soft enough, guess what? It's not going to grow. You're going to be doing the same thing you did year after year because guess what? The word is not going to have any effect upon you. So what we got to do now? I think it's called heart surgery. Heart surgery. You know, one of my good friends, she went did a bypass surgery. Had to take an artery out of her leg and put it in her heart because there was blockage there. Now, you know what happens to when blockage happens, right? That's it. I'm going to order the flowers for you. Well, that's the same thing with believers, saints. If your heart's not right, I'm ordering the flowers for you because Satan's going to have a tough, he's going to have a time on you. He's going to invade your space all day and all night because why? You refuse to allow your heart to be open for God to change and transform it. That's the only way you're going to be changed. Saint, Jesus has done it all. I know we pray, oh, help me, Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus has done it all. Matter of fact, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, waiting for you to do something. He gave you everything you need in this life to walk victorious. So shame on us if we're not walking victorious. Okay, there are babes, and we're going to teach them how to go mature. But if you've been in this thing for a while now, you know, something wrong. Now, me personally, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I want to see what he's talking about. I'm looking at myself. I'm examining myself against what God's word says to make sure that I'm doing everything in alignment with God's word. I don't want to be a mature babe. I want to be a full-grown adult in the kingdom of God. Yeah, who remember Baby Huey? I know y'all too young for that. Oh, yeah, there we go. Baby Huey was this big old duck. Probably, there, stand up, please. That's Baby Huey. He's about that tall, but he's about this big, right? And he definitely had one of these. Remember this? He had one of these. Had a diaper on, and he walking around like a fool right there. Right? That's Baby Huey. What does God look at us? Are we Baby Huey walking around? Big old grown Christian, been in the kingdom 30, 40 years, and still got a diaper on, a bib, and a pacifier. Just call him Baby Huey because we ain't ready yet. But guess what? The world don't let you get ready. They're already hurting out there. They're already dysfunctional out there. We can't go out there and be dysfunctional trying to help somebody else out. It doesn't work that way. God wants mature believers. He wants full-grown believers looking like his, our Savior. We ought to reflect him everywhere we go, in our workplace, especially at home. You know, when I first got married 22 years ago, and I thought I was good. I thought I was perfect, y'all. It was Jesus, then me. I thought I was good. Then I married my wife. She let me know I wasn't good. You know, we had two honeymoons. First honeymoon went pretty well, didn't it? Yes, it did. Second honeymoon, I was like, Lord, I married the devil. But guess what? God was using my wife to prune stuff off me. And I was too immature to understand that. And it still happens today. She said, now, sweetheart, you know that was wrong. What you mean that's wrong? Got a little attitude, didn't I? You saw that, didn't you? What you mean? But that's why your spouse is there, to correct you sometime. And God will use that wife or husband to cut off that stuff that's in you that shouldn't be there. Just cut it away. Chop, chop, chop. He prunes stuff, don't he, Derry? He prunes it. You know why he prunes it? For better use. That's why he prunes it. But you know what? Then I had a child. So now I'm getting it from the left and the right. I can't do nothing, Lou. But be corrected, because God's going to use people to correct you. And if you don't like it, you know what? You're going to get an attitude like I did. But I want to grow. I'm driving her to school one day. You know people are. They can't drive. They need my lessons. I need to teach them how to drive. They can't drive. So I'm looking at them, and Aaliyah goes, Daddy, man. You know why? Because God, he's pruning me. He's cutting stuff away from me that shouldn't be there. And now my job is, how do I receive it? Uh-oh. I'm coming home now. See, I'm coming home. How do you receive correction? You know, I've been counseling for a long time, and I really don't like it, but I'll do it. I'm going to tell you why. No one comes to you, Derry, and say, you know what, Derry, I messed up, brother. How do I get it right? You know, I'm really trying to get this thing right. Can you help me out? This is how they come to you. Derry, look here. That person over there messed me up, and I was right in this situation. They always come from that perspective. They never come and say, Lord, how do I get this thing right, dearie? They always come that I'm the right one. How do I know that? That's how I should come. I used to say, you know what, Luke? Hey, man, you saw what he did to me, didn't you? You saw that, didn't you? That's not how God wants the believing one to respond. Now, if you're a babe, yeah, we understand that, right? Because you're growing in grace. But if you're a mature baby, you're walking around, something wrong with that picture. And guess what? God corrects us all the same. Now, if he ain't correcting you, you better check out and make sure you're a believer. My Bible says he chastens those in love. But can you handle the chastening of the Lord? Can you really? That's what he's doing right now through me. I'm chastening the Lord to you. I'm chastening y'all. See, chastening is a process. I don't want to get to heaven, and I know I'm going there. Has nothing to do with my behavior. Has nothing to do with how good or bad I am. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord. I'm on my way to heaven. Nothing can stop me. I'm there. But the problem is this. I still got to stand before the king and give an account of my conduct after my conversion. Now, that's the part I'm a little afraid of. If I don't hear Derry, well done and good favors, I'll be like, oh, Lord. Because guess what? He can't stand with me. From what I read in my Bible, the books will be open. And guess what? There's a recording angel. Every time you mess up, he's recording it. Some men sin go before the judgment seat. Some men sin follow afterwards. Because you can't say, Lord, I didn't do wrong. He's going to tell you time, date, and year. You know, I got a sister-in-law, and I always tease her. I said, you go to heaven, all right. I'm going to have a crown on my head. You're going to have a bicycle crown on your head. What will you wear before the king? What will you put on before the king? Will your rewards be burnt up? Or will you get a full recompense of what you've done for the Lord? You know, I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't want to be a minister at all. You know, I grew up in church. But It was a war going on the inside, though. As a little kid, I place out my G.I. Joes, come home every day, and preach to them. You know why? It got me practice for people. It did. They didn't talk back to me, though. So I wasn't worried about them. But it got me practice for people. Play football. And I thought I was on my way, Lou. You think you're going to do something in life, don't you? Then there's a little detour God will take you on. And you get mad at God. I did, at least. The foolishness of man perverts his way, then his heart gets mad to God. I didn't know something about my body that God knew. And this doesn't make sense to me. You help me with this one, okay? I'm playing football, and I'm an All-American. I had to prove it to my wife, she didn't believe me. So I went to the library and picked up all my old stuff up. I'm in the same book with Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson. They both play pro football. So guess what? I'm playing pro football. Nobody's going to stop me from that. But keep in mind, God's plan and purpose will succeed. So now I'm like, okay, Lord, I want to play for one college only, Oklahoma. Why? Because I got to be on TV. Everybody else forget y'all. But keep in mind, God plays into your arrogance as well, too. So guess what? When it's time to sign your letter of intent, I'm thinking about nobody else because why? Oklahoma is where I'm going. So I thought. So they finally come watch me play. I say, you know what? I can't get hurt today. Oh, no, I got to be careful today. But see, even when you're serving God, you're going to give your whole amount, you're going to get hurt in life. So guess what? I was just giving a little bit, and I got hurt. So now, no phone calls ringing, Carl. I'm stuck. No scholarships coming my way. I'm like, uh-oh, what happened? God knows how to stop it. But guess what? I ain't done yet, Lou, because I'm good. My coach said, I don't know what happened here, but I have no idea what happened, but I knew what happened. My last game in high school, God said, this is your last game. But I didn't want it to be my last game. So my coach said, guess what, Edward? We're going to put a reel together. We're going to send it to these colleges. You're going to get your scholarship. So I'm excited about that now. And he said, you know what? University of Washington. I went there. I know the coach very well. I said, I'll be at UW then. No problem. So I get there. Now watch God. God did not take away my talent. He didn't. He wanted me to release that talent for a different reason. So I get there, Lou, and I'm bad. I'm a freshman, only 17, but I'm bad. All these teams in front of me, I'm like, I got this, right? I got this. But I get there, I get a call from the coach coming to the office. They said, Miss Edward, we gave our last scholarship away, but if your parents can pay for one semester, we'll give you a scholarship. Because I was good. Guess what happened? My dad lost his job. See, God has a way of getting you to where he wants you to be at. And then just recently, now keep in mind, football is a contact sport. I found out just recently I have spinal stenosis. You know what that is? That's a narrowing of the spine. So one good hit, and that's all. I'm done. But see, God knew that. He knew that, and he didn't want me playing ball because he didn't want me to be hurt. But I want to override God's will, and I could have got hurt myself. See, God's plans and purposes, they're going to be accomplished, whether you like it or not. You can fight, kick, scratch, or scream, but God's plans will be accomplished. As soon as I said yes to God, everything started flowing for me. Because God knows what's best for us. He knows where you should be. He knows what ministry you should be part of. He knows exactly where you should be in life. Now, the problem is, are you going to yield your rights to his rights? When you say yes to him, guess what? You gave all your rights. Well, at least you should have given your rights up. But once you do, there's a freedom and liberty in serving God. There's a liberty. I'm called to the mission field. I get out there. I love going to Haiti. Dr. LeGarry, well, I love Haiti. Matter of fact, I'm Haiti. I'm part Haitian. I can't say the word in Haiti, but I'm Haitian, but I'm Haiti. I love it. I love going to Haiti. I've been there at least, I don't know, 25 times or more. I love going to Haiti. I love it because God called me to the mission field. I love going out to the outreach. I love it. You know why? That's what God designed me for. God designed me that way. But see, my mind wasn't right. Some foolishness was up there. I got too many hits to the head. I wanted to play football. Concussion, that's what it was. Concussion. Hey, I got a concussion. But again, we all got concussion because we don't follow God's pattern for our lives. And God's pattern is outlined right here in God's word. So again, in 2 Corinthians 10, I want you guys to do this. When a thought comes to your mind, and you're going to get thoughts. We just said you're going to be between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts a day. It's coming to your mind. What you got to do simply is read that scripture backwards. Go back to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm almost done. It's my first closing. Let's start in verse 5. You got it? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. When you get there, say amen. It says in verse 5, casting down what? Imaginations. Right? And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring what? Every what? Thought. So we're dealing with thoughts now. We're dealing with thoughts, right? Because your mind is being bombarded with thoughts. Now, if we don't deal with that thought in the very beginning, guess what happens? It becomes a stronghold. It becomes a stronghold. So when that thought comes to your mind, it says in verse 5, cast it down right away. This is how it works. Because God has created us so beautifully and wonderfully. You agree with that? Your mind has the potential to do anything. You don't believe me? Go back and read Genesis when they built the Tower of Babel. But also your mind can go the opposite way too. Watch this. Scenario. Let's say that we have this house We got a house note, right? Well, that house note is paid because I have a job, correct? I lose my job. House note can't get paid anymore. So now the first thing, your imagination starts running. You're going to see yourself as not having a house anymore, so now you see yourself as homeless because your imagination is running wild. That's why you take that thought in the very inception and say, no, my God shall supply all my needs. Not based upon a job, but because of God's abundant supply. But if you don't deal with that thought in the beginning, it becomes a stronghold. It works that way economically. It works that way as an attack on your physical body as well, too. You deal with it when it first happens to your body. You take that thought, that pain, and you cast it down based upon the reality of God's word. By his stripes, I am healed. You may not feel healed, but you continue to declare God's word. I am healed. I am healed based upon God's word. Amen? So what should we think on? Go to First Philippians. That's a good one. Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. God has told us what to think on. What to think on. You know why it's so important to have your life filled with praise and worship? Because we're practicing for heaven. Verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always means always. It means through tragedy, adversity, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, again, I say what? Rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto men that the Lord is at hand, because he's on his way. Then it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication, to what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And then this is an essential part. And the peace of God. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and your mind through Jesus Christ. The answer to what to think on, finally, my brethren, think on these things. Things that are true, honest, things that are just, pure, things that are lovely. If there be any virtue, be any praise, think, meditate, or ponder on these things. Those are things you need to think on, and your mind will be free from adversity of the enemy and the attacks of the enemy. And we have a choice in the matter, you guys. Every day you wake up in the morning, you can choose on how you're going to live your life. You have a choice. Last scripture, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him sincerely and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Saints, guess what? You got a choice in the matter. You can choose to serve yourself or choose to serve God. But you have a choice in the matter. Every day you wake up, you got to choose who you're going to serve. You're going to choose to serve your emotions, let them dictate to you who you are in Christ, or will you choose to serve God? The choice is yours. But it's only going to happen if you decide to have your mind change and transform. If you decide to allow your heart to be changed from a stony heart to a heart of flesh, open for God's transformation. I want you to close your eyes right now, because I'm going to close right now. And I want to say that God is incredibly good. And I know we all experienced it. We hear this sometimes in our homes. Revelation says, I stand at the door and I knock. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. And what he's waiting for is for you to open the door. As a little kid, my mom would have this chain on the door. So if someone comes to the door and knock, I would open it so far and see who that person on the side is. And I believe sometimes that's what we do too. We open the door just so far. We don't swing it wide open so we can come in completely. It just cracked. Because we believe that my house is not ready. My house is not clean enough for you to come in yet. And sometimes we let them come into that one room that we have. That one room that's never been occupied, that's called a living room. But we don't want Christ to come to every room. So if you're here today and you know that he's knocking, and you have never opened the door of your heart to him as he knocks, and he's knocking right now, and you want him to come in, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Because he's standing in there consistently knocking. And why does he continue to knock? Because he died for you and he loves you. He'll stand there and continue to knock. All he wants you to do is open the door. And matter of fact, he'll come in and help you clean up the house. Because no matter how much you think you need to clean it up, there's always going to be something there that's not clean. If you're here today and you've opened the door up to Christ, and he's come in, and now the enemy has come in with sickness, pain, or disease, Jesus has come in to help eradicate that sickness and disease. He says, I've taken those pains, and now I want you to be